Okay. Appreciate you all for being here. And I thank Joey for coming. And I shared yesterday's meeting, but I think it would be appropriate to share again how grateful we are, Joey, for what the technology committee has done, not just for COSA as a whole to make so much information available to us, but specifically for the delegates and what you have done as a committee for the delegates by updating the delegate page for us, for posting previous meetings to make it available for delegates and attendees of our meetings to get the information firsthand. And as I said yesterday, I have no idea how you guys do it. I can't imagine the hours of education that went into even being able to handle this, but then the workload on top of it. And sometimes it seems like it happens overnight. Like I go to bed at night, and when I wake up in the morning, things are updated and changed. Like little elves are out there doing this while I'm sleeping. And I know that's not true. I know it's willing COSAs that that dedicate their service and their talents, their gifts to making it possible. So thank you, Joey. And please share it with the rest of TechCom. I know that you guys are looking for help, and I hope you'd be willing to share some of your needs with us and let us know what we can do to bring back to our meetings to increase the service members that are there, so the load isn't carried on such few, because I know there's people out there that are willing. So thanks, Joey. We'll give you the floor. I believe we made you co-host. Not yet. I will make you co-host so you can screen share. And there you go.
Well, thanks very much. So yeah, this is we really like what we do on TechCom, but we also like to share. So the one thing I wanted to like give you guys a preview of, and this is something that the TechCom committee has been working on for a while. So one of the things that we heard from the fellowship was that sometimes when you go to look for a meeting on our website, it's very problematic to find it because of the way that it's ordered. In theory, it should be ordered by the next meeting that's getting ready to start, but the time zones don't line up. So it's like a needle in a haystack sometimes. So what we've come up with is this new calendar. It's not available yet on the website. We're working on a COSA in the Nose announcement, but So this is what it's going to look like. The cool thing about it, it looks like a calendar, so that'll also make it a little bit easier. And what it's going to do is when you open it, it's going to default to your time zone. So currently this is all East Coast times for the various meetings that we see here. Over on the left-hand side are the various calendars.
Would you mind screen sharing so we can see what you're looking at?
That is incredible that you should push the share button. That's awesome. Okay. Okay. Can you see it now? Okay, good. So, like I said, it looks like a calendar. It defaults to my time zone, but if I wanted to change time zones, that's easy enough to do. You just go here and you can change the time zone that you would want to see the meetings show up in. But so here's the calendar. Over on this left-hand side are the various calendars. The calendars are color-coded. So let's say that that you're on the East Coast and you have no need, and the ones that are local and also international, those are face-to-face meetings. If they have a phone or online component, they'll appear in multiple places. So we can go ahead and we're going to click on international to get rid of those. We don't want the Midwest ones, they're already closed. We'll keep the Northeast. We'll get rid of the Southern and the Western. And so what that leaves us, we look here and we can scroll down, is we've got all the various phone meeting options. Other recovery events would be like the retreat last weekend or the Bay Area's speaker meeting. Those would show up on here as well. There's none currently scheduled. The delegate meeting should be on here, but I didn't put it on here. That would be under the service delegate related calendar. So this is just a really great, you know, so you wake up, it's Monday, and you're like, okay, what's the next meeting I can get to? So I could go to the Coast of Divorce and Help and Hope at 3, or there is a phone meeting, the daily 10th step. So, and you can, when you click on it, it gives you the same, you're going to see the same information that you see on the website. If a meeting does not want their location listed on the website, you're not going to find it here. You're going to have that contact information just like you do on the website, where you've got to email or call them to get that information. And that's just, I just think it's just a really great way to get an idea of being able to see what's available all in one place, especially since you can narrow it down to your time zone and the online or the phone. Or if you just wanted to know what your phone opportunities are, you can just get rid of those. And so here's everything that's available phone in a snapshot, which I think is a lot cleaner than the way it shows on the other pages. Those are still going to stay there. This just gives us gives the COSA another way to locate their meeting. So this is something that will hopefully be announced in the COSAs in the know in the next few weeks, and that'll then be available on the website as well. Any questions about the calendar before I go to other stuff? Pat?
Marley?
So I know that you hadn't scrolled down, but I'm trusting that the 11th step was there too. Since Zoom meetings have become so popular, we have lost a lot of attendance with the 10th and 11th step half hour meetings. And so I'm hoping that there might be a resurgence of interest in those meetings.
Yeah, that's at the very top here.
12 a.m. Oh, it's because that's Eastern. Yes.
Correct. Exactly. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you.
No problem. So currently we have a proposal up to the board for some more changes that we're working on. One of the things that we've been needing to work on is improving our search engine optimization, so that when somebody puts in terms that a newcomer would use to try to find COSA, that they're able to find COSA quicker. Right now, you know, they might have to scroll down a little bit or go to a second page. And so we have a proposal into the board to have somebody help us with that process. We also got a proposal to the board about getting a Spanish version of the website as well. Those are probably the big things that we're working on, besides just the normal stuff of keeping the delegate information page up to date. And then we'll start working on the in-person convention pages as well. In terms of what does the committee need, we've posted a couple of times in the Coast of the Knows about needing somebody that knows MailChimp to take over that piece of service. So that's one thing. You do need to know MailChimp in order to do that. But for the most part, it's a lot of copy and pasting. So having technical skills would be really great to be on the TechCom committee, but that's not required. One of the things I shared with the group yesterday is that there's discussion about trying to find how often and where forms of the word codependent or codependency appears on our current website. There's not a way to run a report that generates that. So this would be a manual process. So this doesn't take any great skills. You just need to have some time where you can go through each page and do a find for codependency or some form of that, and then copy and paste that URL into a Word document that we could then share with the technology committee. We also, sometimes we put in new changes to the website and we need people to test it for us. So again, you don't need great skills. You just need to be able to have a little bit of time to try out some of the features. It could be that we're going to put a new questionnaire or a form or something on the website, and we want people to test it. The way, you know, normally when somebody builds a form or questionnaire, they know exactly how it's supposed to work. So when they test it, they're testing it in a certain formulaic way. Whereas the person who's never seen the form, they're going to approach it in all different kinds of ways. And that's really what we need, because we want to make sure that the person doesn't either they're not able to either complete the process, or they have questions. And so to be able to get that out of the way before we put it out there to the public is always a good thing. What else? At one point there was a couple of COSAs, and I should check with them because I don't know whatever happened to them. It would be really great if we had some type of an index or something for the balance additions that we have on the website. So sometimes you can do a search for certain words, and as long as that word appeared in the title of the lead article, you could find that addition. But have somebody, or you know, it could be a whole team of people, just go through and just give us keywords, and we can put keywords in the search engine so that if somebody searched for that, they would find that article. So it's, again, that doesn't take great skills. Again, it's just some time and doing some copy and pasting and, you know, generating a document for us. That's one thing. Another thing that we want to do is a sitemap. So a sitemap would be, you would go to the website, you click on a sitemap, and it takes you to this boring page that has a bunch of titles of the pages, so that if somebody's looking for the promises, if you know where the promises, you can find them. But if you can't, you could go to this sitemap page, scroll down, click on the promises, and that would launch the promises page. So again, that doesn't take great skills. That just takes somebody that is interested in doing that kind of service to help us document what all the different sections of all the different pages are. Okay, so I think that I've rambled on enough. So questions? Marlene?
So you mentioned codependent, and I know when I respond to the literature committee and say what we might work on next, that I want, it said that delegates in former meetings emphatically and strongly said that once the book was done, that we wanted to take codependent out of all of our literature and just put what it means, you know, the behaviors instead. So I'm hoping that strong desire by delegates in a previous delegate meeting would be honored.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we discussed with the board at their last monthly board meeting, was that several years ago, Nan and I, God bless her soul, went through the entire website. We took 5 years to do it, and she took a fifth of it each year and went through it and made sure that we had a consistent message for the fellowship. And so I think that same kind of thing has to be done with codependence. I totally agree that does turn some people off. And so I think that having that document or that list of times where that word appears on our website will aid the literature committee when they get to that point to be able to make those updates. It would not be in our best interest to simply find and replace what's on there with something. It needs to be a consistent message. And so, but no, that it's Marlene, those thoughts are well aware of, and we're going to, our plan is to take care of it.
So thank you for preserving that.
Linda?
Yeah. This is just a really simple question. So the calendar you showed us, is that up and running now on the website?
No, we are waiting. I've drafted a coast in the nose, and I've sent it to one of my favorite COSAs to like spice it up, just because I'm a boring writer. So hopefully it'll appear in the next, probably in the next 2 weeks, and then we'll, and then it'll be available on the website.
Okay. So when the COSA and the NO comes out that is announcing that change, that'll be when it's available.
Correct. Exactly.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Catherine?
I'm on the literature committee, and I just want to say we are definitely have that intention. I mean, it's on our radar to look at removing codependency, but we're still a year or two away from the book being finished. We still have a lot of back work to do.
Thanks, Catherine.
You're welcome.
Any more questions or comments for Joey? Diana?
Sorry, I can't find my virtual hand. Joey, do you want any people to test the functions of the new calendar? I'm sorry or glad to say I'm very good at coming at things from another perspective and going, oh, how does this work? Or why is that like that? Do you want any of that before you take it live?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, yes, that would be really incredible to have somebody compare what they see on the current website with what's that there now.
I'm happy to do that. I have some time, and I will email you.
Okay, sounds great.
Okay.
Thanks, Diana.
So you may have already, let me pull up the chat. Did you put your contact information there in the chat?
No, I'll do it right now.
Thank you.
And I'm putting both the TechCom email address as well as my personal email address. So in case anybody wants to talk to me about something that's not TechCom related.
Thanks, Joey. Are we going to do a quick thumbs up, thumbs down group content? We ready to move to our speaker share. Very excited to hear from Linda. Linda, when you're ready, I appreciate the time that you have taken out. I know you've been recovering from some health things, so thank you for being willing to come and share for us today.
Sure. I got my ice packs on. I'm good. So the subject is service, as I understand it. So my experience, strength, and hope on service. So I came to COSA in the fall of 2006, and I personally had been in some other 12-step fellowships before I found COSA, and so I was familiar with the concept of, you know, doing service, being part of being in a 12-step fellowship, boy, my journey doing service in COSA really was an integral part of the spiritual transformation I got from working the steps, which I think is why we have step 12, because it's not, you know, what's the expression? I got to give it away to keep it. So I found more than that. Like when I first started doing service, I mean, I can look back and realize that service at all kinds of levels was a safe space for me to bang my head against the wall once in a while and be like, oh, wait a minute. So my disease is coming into play here. Let me just put it this way. Before COSA, I know that, and in my early days in COSA, my service, my motive for my service was coming more from my disease. So I came out of my family of origin with kind of this programming that you have to be productive, you have to do things, you have to meet other people's needs to have any worth. So it was unconscious, I didn't realize it, but initially that was totally how I approached service. Like, I'm going to do this service and everyone is going to be so appreciative and thank me so much and know what a great person I am and how talented and I don't know, whatever. And over time, and I am a person who always said that my higher power, one of the ways my higher power taught me things, especially in the early days, was by hitting me over the head with a 2x4. I'd run into a wall and I'd just be like, what? And then I'd have to sit down and work the steps around it and use my tools and figure out what was going on with me around that. So that has helped me grow into somebody who does service because it brings me joy to be of service. I'm not getting anything else out of it. It's like my primary purpose at this point in time is to follow my higher power's will. And very often my higher power leads me into some kind of service that is an opportunity to grow and an opportunity to grow COSA, which I am eternally grateful that COSA was here when I came. And I want COSA to be here for everyone whose life has been affected by compulsive sexual behavior. So I will say that I started out doing service on the meeting level, various things. I'm quite sure that I like in my original home group, I rotated into every kind of service there was, you know, the treasurer, secretary, the literature person, the greeter, the delegate. So the first time I was a delegate was for the 2008 convention. I'd been in COSA a whole year and a half. I didn't have a sponsor. I hadn't worked the steps. The convention was in Seattle. Nobody else raised their hand. And I said, well, I'm going. So if we need a delegate, I can give that a shot, right? And being a delegate that year was so eye-opening for me. It was just like, oh my God, there's this whole fellowship that exists outside my little meeting. And I mean, I have formed the opinion about myself and just in general, I think sometimes for me, I have an intimacy disorder. So when I felt safe in my little meeting, it was easy to just be in that bubble. But that, it was I felt like Alice in Wonderland, just like, what is going on here? And all the amazing work that's being done to reach out to those who still suffer. And I really wanted to be a part of that. And the following year, the convention was slated to be in my area, in the San Francisco Bay Area. So I volunteered for service. And I was a registrar, and I'm very proud of the service I did that year. I actually transformed that service position into one that was, I created a spreadsheet, and that spreadsheet, a version of that is still being used that gives information to every committee and allows us not to have to pay staff to sign people up and so on. But man, I was so fried. I did like the whole thing. And then I said, I'm going to do this again next year because I'm going to learn how to do this from a less codependent place where I can practice more self-care. So I think I was a registrar for like 4 years. Man, I perfected doing service without harming myself as a thing that helped myself. So that was kind of awesome. And I will point out that, and I also did service at the intergroup level, and I still do. And I really love that because that's, if you have an intergroup in that in your area, it's about really our primary purpose. The intergroups do outreach in a way that a single meeting could not, and support new meetings and that kind of stuff. And at one point, for I think 2.5 years, I was on the board. The first year I was on the board, Joey was the chair. That was my most funnest year. I'll just be real. It was awesome. Because the first thing I remember you saying, Joey, sorry for the crosstalk, is that there's only 7 of us. And so we're just going to do what we can do. We're not going to be able to do the work of 15 people. And man, here's the amazing part. We got so much done. But we did it from that place of we're going to practice self-care. We're not going to overwhelm ourselves. We're going to do what we're called to do. And we're not going to try to do everything. And it was such a great experience for me. So I guess what I want to say is, well, I have loved being the delegate. And there have been a couple of years where I couldn't go to the delegate meeting because I was ill, but I have been the delegate otherwise every year since, not always for the same meeting, but I just love being a part of that process where the board is getting input from delegates as representatives of their individual meetings. So it's like experiencing in a very direct way that upside down triangle, that the decision making flows from the meeting level down to the board and the board committees where it gets implemented. So I would encourage people, if you're not already, and many of you are, maybe all, I don't know, done some service on an intergroup or on an ISO level committee, such as TechCom. It is a kind of amazing opportunity for growth. My thing was convention committee. I did that for, I lost track how many years, lots of years. But there are so many, every committee is bringing forth that primary purpose in another way. And that's what it's about. And when I was on the board, I used to say to myself, okay, so what we're talking about right now, is that going to bring our primary purpose forward? Because you know what? If the answer is no, why are we wasting our time talking about it? And it's really been a great guide to me in my service. And I've really tried to apply that to my personal recovery and my personal life. So what's my primary purpose, let's say, in my marriage? It's to build a healthier, more intimate relationship. So if what I'm doing in that relationship is not serving that end, why am I doing it? So it just really has helped me to tune into higher powers guidance from that perspective. And so I'm really glad to see you all. By definition, you're all already doing service. So I'm not here to talk you into it. I'm just here to share my experience, strength, and hope. Thanks. That's what I got.